And welcome back to another Anything Goes with me, Tom Cruise, and as ever, Josh Bassett.
So excited to be back.
We are very sorry that it's been a while. Obviously, a lot has gone on. It's unprecedented times. Had to slip that end in there. But thankfully, we are back. And John Boy, where do we start?
Well, we're back bigger, better than ever. The only reason we had this break was to get this studio built.
Studio?
Yeah, look at it.
It is immense, isn't it?
No.
Would you like to delve more into that or what?
Definitely. So if people don't know, obviously, One Mill Street just opened up in Leamington. It's, I don't even know how to describe it. It's an amazing space with various different things, open workspaces. There's some companies in it itself, and they've built our own personal recording studio, isn't it? I'm a bit disappointed the sign says Mill Street Studio. It should say Anything Goes, but no jokes about it. It's absolutely amazing, and we're so lucky to have them here, aren't we, really?
Yeah, we are. It's amazing, and hopefully that means it's the end of the muffled sound and the microphone issues we had. Obviously, a few sirens going on in the background as well. So, yeah, no, we've got the facilities now, which means that as a podcast we can take off.
Take over the world.
Yeah, we're obviously already on our way to doing that, but now we've got this, you know. Sky's the limit, isn't it?
Take us from second in the charts to first. Joe Rogan, we're coming
we're
for you.
We're coming for you, mate.
Calling you out.
So, John Boy, I mean, a lot's gone on, hasn't it? Like we said, I think probably the best place to start is lockdown. I know it's the issue that probably everyone talks about, but peaks and troughs a little bit, wasn't it?
Definitely. I mean, we'd had a five-a-side footy match that day, footy tournament, hadn't we? So it was a great day. Got sent home, and then next minute got the obviously text saying you won't be coming in for a couple of weeks, and then a couple of weeks turned into 5 months. And yeah, like you said, it was a time when no one knew what was going on, and it was a difficult time for everyone. But I thought the club dealt with it really well. And like you said, that there was definitely a lot of negatives about it, but I definitely thought we got some positives out of it as a club and, you know, as individuals.
Yeah, no, massively. I think I forgot about that football match. Our team manager, Dave Bassett, did he not have an issue with his bicep playing in that in one of those?
Yeah, he was diving around thinking he was bloody Casper Schmeichel, didn't he? And then next minute, he's bloody torn his bicep.
Mate, with that haircut, I think he was more of a fat Fabian Bartos. no, but yeah, the lockdown obviously was tough times. I mean, I think at first I found it really hard. You know, that like lack of routine was obviously pretty tough to take at first. We're used to coming in, we got our bums cleaned really. we're like spoon fed. We have a pretty rigid structure to our days. So when you get that taken away, I found that pretty tough at first. And obviously with a few young kids at home, I was just like straight into the trenches. So don't envy my missus or any parents out there who were stuck in the house with young kids at all. But did you enjoy it at first, or did you struggle? Or?
I think, like you said, it was finding that routine and finding what it was going to be. Like you said, I think the missus was happy because you get to see what it's really like at home. Yeah. But it was once we found that routine, it was good. It was enjoyable, and we're never going to get that time again to spend it, you know, with young family. So that was really good. I enjoyed, you know, being there every day, especially, you know, with a five-month-year-old. It's so exciting to see them steps that I probably missed with Teddy a bit. But no, like you said, it was difficult after probably a couple of months, you know, that routine's getting very samey. So it was just finding ways of changing it up. And obviously, I think the hardest thing was getting training done, because we needed to, because you didn't know when we was coming back.
Yeah.
So you needed to train, but it's the facilities. It was trying to get equipment from the club, but they weren't sure whether we were allowed to get it, all these little things. And then, you know, the club has only got a certain amount of equipment. So you've got mix
first
and matches.
And serve,
exactly. So it was mix and match. And then it was like trying to actually buy some equipment. I think the whole of Great Britain turned into a fitness fanatic. Yeah. So everyone must be looking like Arnie now, because I couldn't get hold of a bar anywhere. But no, you know, these were the little things. Obviously, there was a lot more going on and a lot worse things. But, you know, your focus is on, you don't know when we're coming back. It's like you could be into a game. We didn't know. It could be straight back into a game. But we got there. I thought the club dealt with it great. You know, the programs they sent out, everything was really individualised with what you could get. I think some lads pretended they didn't have an equipment and they had a full gym at home, and I think some of it's still at home.
No, mate, I agree. The unknown's horrible, isn't it? And obviously, at first, we didn't know how long it was going to last. And, you know, first of all, it was maybe 4 weeks, then 6 weeks, and then, like you say, but before you knew it, it was 3-4 months. And, yeah, it was pretty horrible. But, yeah, just pulling it back to the club's point of view, it was a weird time because contractually, generally runs from June to June or however they work. And the lockdown period ran over that time. So we obviously had a few lads that left the club in that time who we didn't get to say goodbye to properly, which was pretty tough because obviously no matter how long you're at a club, you generally make an impact, you make friends because you move your life here. We said goodbye over Zoom, which was really difficult, you know, but we got it done to the likes of Surly, Charlie Matthews. Tebow's obviously gone since then, but I mean, really tough time saying goodbye to the likes of Nemo and Ash. Like, saying goodbye to Ash on Zoom was so difficult because he's someone who's had such a big impact at the club, obviously on the pitch, but when you look at the comments from fans, like these are fans that get to watch him play week in, week out. Imagine being the people who are with him, you know, day in, day out. For me, saying goodbye to him was so difficult. And the other lads as well. Obviously, Neem had a huge impact at the club as well. Just probably amplified how difficult the circumstances were in lockdown.
Definitely, especially, like you said, Ash, someone who's been here for a lot of tough times and then some great times. Even if it was a normal season, your send-off probably isn't big enough or good enough for what he deserves. Yeah. So to have to do it how we did, I thought we made the best of a bad situation. But, you know, I think definitely as a club, when we can and get everyone back in to, you know, sign them off really the way they should, especially Ash, who, you know, he moved his life over from South Africa and he was here for 6 seasons, I believe. You know, that's a long time coming from when the club was, you know, outside of the Champions Cup, getting us back into the Champions Cup, then to a Premiership final. You know, he's been an absolute stalwart, someone that's kind of grown to be synonymous with Wasps. And then you've got all the other lads, you know, no matter how, like you said, short your time is at a club, you move everything into it, you give everything. You know, as cringe as it is to say, you bleed for the club, but it means a lot. And you see these lads day in and day out, and for it to finish with a footy tournament.
Yeah. When you didn't quite know it was going to finish.
When you didn't know it was going to. Exactly. So, yeah, it was definitely sad, but I'm glad, like you said, we met over Zoom. And also, there was a load of staff that left as well.
Yeah.
You know, there was Andy Titterall, been here for years, David Breen, you know, there's all these other people. Dan Barr, you know, I mean, you could hear Dan Barr from Dragons, I think, the whole time. The Dragon, you know, these people have been here for a long time and they've worked so hard. It's just a shame not to give them what they do, which is probably a few quiet beers and a few loud ones too.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I agree. And do you think, obviously, without rushing it on too far, and because we will get on to making the final a little bit later, do you think, obviously, the work that these guys put in is a reflection of where we got to when we got to the final as well? It's not just they've gone and now we get to the final. You know, they put in a lot of foundations, I suppose, in the lads, because, you know, it was pretty much the same squad afterwards that got to the final.
Definitely, especially in that lockdown period where we didn't know what we were doing. They will have to be so adaptable. Like I said, someone would have a set of 12 kg dumbbells and someone would have an Olympic bar of 250 kg of weight. So for them to be able to, you know, sort out what we're doing, the physios giving you, you know, Zoom physio, all these little things, it was a big thing about being adaptable. And they had that whole period. And then obviously we had some new people come in. But like you said, they put the foundations in, which allowed the new lads to come in and not be starting a blank, which is what we needed. And I think it worked almost.
I think we need to set the record straight here. When John Boy is referring to one of the players having 212 kg dumbbells, it was ZZ. ZZ's an 120 kilo prop, right? Who obviously has to be strong, fit. if you give this guy 12 kg dumbbells and say, right, you've got 3 months over to you, like, it's pretty difficult to stay in half decent shape, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe had more at home, I don't know. But when we had to send our lists in, that's all he said he had. So he must have got pretty inventive with what he was doing. But no, I think that was another big positive of lockdown was, as easy as it is to say to stay in shape and, you know, you've got to come back in and it is our job, mentally not knowing, I think, was the biggest thing, was not knowing when you were coming in. And there were so many crazy things going on. I was really impressed with how the lads dealt with it and how professional they were. And when everyone came in, it was like we hadn't left. And I think people found a lot of solace in training, in doing that every day, and finding that time. I think Cruzy extended his time a little bit longer every day with the two twins.
Yeah.
Ended up being a 5-hour training session.
No, definitely. And I think one thing, I suppose, for us as rugby players, you never get 3 months off. Or however, I don't know the actual amount of time I got off. So to give your body that time off from knocks and niggles is definitely another positive. Your boys come back in so fresh, mentally and physically fresh, to hit the ground running, that I think that definitely showed when we did get back into a pre-season in games. But before we get back onto the rugby, just more positives to come out of lockdown. We started a Make the Call campaign at the club, which I thought went so well, went viral, really. Everybody was getting involved. Obviously it went viral in the rugby world, but it also spread to football players and other sports and just other, I suppose, famous people as well were getting involved in that. And I know it was something that I was really keen to get involved with, and there's still actually a few fans that I speak to now. It was great to speak to fans and see what they were up to, because we do get caught in a bubble sometimes, don't we? Being a professional sportsman is such an easier life than what others have. And speaking to fans and seeing what they were up to. I know that one girl, I won't say her name, is stuck inside and is still stuck inside and hasn't left the house. And it's such perspective to listen to other people's stories and fans that, you know, idolise us as players and us as a club. So I know that, yeah, it was a fantastic thing that the club did, and it's something that I'm sure the fans really, really appreciated.
Definitely. I had a nurse that was actually working when I called her, and she answered the phone, and next thing you know, I'm talking to a whole department. And, you know, this was right at the start when everyone was under the cosh, the NHS was. And, you know, for me, I actually felt a little bit, you know, it was so hard, because I was talking to people that were on the front line doing, you know, looking after so many people, and they were the ones under pressure. And it's just silly old me who plays rugby, like, really, they should be calling me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was like that. I was, you know, like everyone did, you know, clap for the NHS. They were the real heroes. So to be able to talk to them, and next minute I'm on loudspeaker and I'm talking to everyone there. And it was just amazing to be able to talk to them people that were on the front line. And I'd like to think, hopefully, we picked up some WASP fans from it.
Oh, no, definitely. Definitely. No, it was a great campaign. And I know that a few lads still speak to a few of the people that the fans, should I say, that they got in touch with. So it's definitely been a really good thing come out of lockdown in that respect. And also, while we're in lockdown, there was a few people, I say a few, probably literally three, asking for us to get a podcast done. So we did have a little look into it, didn't we? And
we spent hours of research into Zoom, what platform would be best, getting everything set up, didn't we?
Yeah, because we're not the techies. We just turn up and do our thing, you know. So yeah, we got a guest. Do you want to talk about this one? Or
so we planned, and we thought, you know, let's get someone who's been at WASP, a WASP legend, who's now with another Premiership club. It'd be really good to get their insight, you know, someone who came through the academy. So we spoke to Joe Simpson, and he was like, yeah, really keen, let's get it sorted. So as far as we know, we were doing it at Saturday, 2 p.m. Me and Cruzy get on the Zoom call, sat there ready. We have a little 15 minutes before planning how this podcast is going to go. and we're ready for this. This is it. We're going to take over the world. Then it gets to half two when Simo's going to join the call. We're like, okay, he's a few minutes late. Next minute, 15 minutes go by, nothing. So we're like, oh, we'll give him a text. Text him, no reply for another 15 minutes. And then we get a text from Simo saying, oh, sorry, mate, thought it was on Monday. And we're like, Joe Simpson, a bit of a practical joker, isn't he? He's just pulling our leg here. He's winding us up.
Would be a classic Simo gag.
Maybe the podding shed have set them up for this, you know. Yeah. Don't want to tarnish any allegiances with Gloucester. And then another 15 minutes go past. Again, nothing. Then we get another text saying, oh, no, no. Oh, yeah, it's Sunday, isn't it? And we're like, right, he's really having us on here, but we're eating up our time here. And then the next minute, we tried and ring him, still no answer. And then he was like, mate, I've completely forgotten, didn't he? Yeah. He absolutely forgot. Like, the second biggest podcast in the world, and he's forgotten it.
I know, absolute stitch up. 1-0 to him. I think, obviously, when he left the club, he left us as well. We've not spoke to him since.
No, that was it. He's never coming on here. He's banned.
He is banned. No, it was a shame. So, yeah, it would have been nice to get one done, but we're here now into bigger and better things, aren't we?
Certainly. We've got a neon light. We've got cameras. We've got, honestly, this setup is unbelievable.
It's quality, isn't it? The only problem is that the sound is so clear that it picks up every stutter that we do.
It does. Every stutter, every sip of water.
And we've got the driest mouths in the world. So out of lockdown, got into, how long was our pre-season? Was it 4 weeks? How long was it?
We had stage one, didn't we? We had stage one where
that's right.
It was six people in a group, Social distanced, everything cleaned down, temperature checks, the full shebang. Were we getting tested at that time? I don't think we were we? Were we getting tested?
I can't remember.
We've had that many tests, you forget, don't you?
Yeah, it's become normal. To us,
so that
it?
We had that for 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, it was a phase one, phase two, phase three, wasn't there? Yeah. Phase three was games, is that right?
Yeah.
And I definitely thought that we, like I said before, we'd come back fresh mentally, really fresh, ready to go. But you also think that every other club is like that. So it's tough because it's relatively unknown when you're coming back in. You've almost had a mid-season break, which obviously never happens. So you go in pretty confident, but also thinking, oh, other clubs will be in the same boat, fresh, mentally, you know, ready to go. But we at the ground running, didn't we? We were flying.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going to Saints away, Franklin's Gardens, they were second in the league at that time. Yeah. So to come back after lockdown, we knew, you know, we needed to start big. And I thought we did. I thought we performed great. Like, it was the weirdest weather that day. 1 minute it was sunny, next minute it was raining. It was all over the place. But no, great performance. Started with 5 points. Like, what a way to start after such a long break. Just felt so exciting, didn't it? It was like so lucky to be back doing what we love to do. Yeah. There's people that can't go to work. You know, there's people that are locked in their houses and we're getting the opportunity to play rugby. It was absolutely amazing. And to win made it even better.
Yeah, definitely. Because pre-lockdown, we won a few games back-to-back and everyone was like, oh, you know, bad time for you guys to stop here because, you know, you were flying out of momentum. And actually, we just picked up where we left off, didn't we? And I think those games, because the fixtures were so congested, weren't they, opened up opportunities to everyone. We sort of rotated the squad. It was like a Lions tour. Not the Royal British Irish Lions, but we had midweek fixtures.
We missed all Saturday. The piss-ups, though.
Yeah, I know, unfortunately, yeah. It was like a Lions tour, but just games and no socials. And we got to rotate the squad. Boys were getting their first Premiership experience, and all with still winning, which I thought was a massive sort of pat on the back to how good our squad was. Massively, I look at like the people that sort of got opportunities that maybe wouldn't have usually, and someone like Tom Willis just played and was absolutely brilliant. We almost had that sort of midweek team and test match team on the weekend, didn't we? But people were forcing themselves into those big games, and obviously without jumping too far ahead, we see them now, and these are lads that are playing week in, week out this year. So
definitely, and the new lads coming in, you know, like Ryan Mills, this is a situation that he's never going to be in again.
Yeah,
it's a short time where you're training socially distanced. We didn't have that much rugby before, and he come in and hit the ground running. Mm. And you know, we had Zoom calls and all this stuff, which integrated them early, and I thought that was great. But like you said, it was the depth of the squad, you know, young lads, Charlie Atkinson, that opportunity to come in straight from the academy. make a performance, Alfie, all these lads got these opportunities because there was so much rugby. I don't know if lads want the midweek games to come back, because it was good because you knew that short block was there, but if you did it, you couldn't do it for a whole season, could you? It is tough.
It is tough. I've got mixed opinions on it, really, because the short weeks were nice. Having games can be stressful. Look, it's probably easier when you're winning. Definitely easier when you're winning. And I can imagine it's a bit of a slog if you're not going that well. Luckily, we were on the right side of most results.
So bring it back.
Yeah, we'll carry on. But obviously, as the season went on, it became pretty evident that we were going to make top four and then push for a top two spot as well, which was decent, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, it's so exciting, and the unfortunate thing of not having fans, you know, for a home semi final is just so frustrating, because it takes so long to get to that, and then to get that opportunity, which I don't think a lot of people saw coming, and then we got there and we were like, this is it. And to have that is a bit frustrating, because the last one was amazing we had at home. So, you know, it was frustrating on that part. But like you say, being in the top four, a home semi-final is what you dream of, isn't it?
Mate, it was absolutely amazing. And in classic Wasps fashion, the week leading up to the final wasn't as straightforward as maybe you would like it to be, should we say, going into a final.
Yeah, a few bumps in the road, but I thought everyone dealt with it so well, because you're on such a high, winning that semi-final against, you know, an informed Bristol team, and then, okay, you got the next week off, and then to get, obviously, the news we did. The club dealt with it so well, you know, head of medical, Ali James, our COVID lead manager,
Fabio Bartes.
Prime Minister, bicep tendonless man, Dave Bassett, took control, and they did exactly what they should do, locked everything down, and to be able to, you know, have the opportunity to play, because I think lads were going through peaks and troughs one minute they think we're playing, the next minute, you know, we're getting told if there's one more positive case, we're not playing. Yeah. It was all over the place. Like, no one knew. So to have that build up, I wouldn't like to do it again, but to come out the right side and to be able to play was amazing.
Yeah, emotionally, it was tough, wasn't it? High and low. But I think one thing that Leah spoke about is our ability to adapt. And that's from players on the pitch to, like you're suggesting there, the staff as well. And you look at games that probably got us into that top four and got us into the top two. And you look at probably two that stand out that were in the same week. You look at Bath away. We lose two hookers, Tommy and Gabe, inside 20 minutes. And we have to adapt. I think Chesty became played hooker. But honestly, absolutely.
He's chatting it up. Best arts at the club, he reckons.
Well, let's be honest. He was the one who was throwing the ball in, wasn't he? So,
he sold the dummy. Went for the double tops and then said, see you later. It was a gut pass. So it worked.
But no, like, to stand up in those moments, the Tom West moment when he was going to end up at hooker at one point, he's like, yeah, I played hooker when I was 16, so jumping in against Bath there.
I played hooker at under 10s when it was uncontested.
And then, obviously, the next week, a load of changes. I don't know how many it was. I'm pretty sure it was over 10.
Yeah, it was definitely over 10.
Jimmy back at 10, which, obviously, he's played the majority of his rugby.
You almost forget, 12. Don't you forget, that he was a 10. And then he's gone so well for Wasps at 12, which kind of made his name as a 12. But he was this world-class 10 before, and then seeing him back still in the ship, you're like, oh, yes, you did. Oh, fair play, Jim.
I know.
Is that your first time playing, is it? You've done a good job.
It should be a lot more. Yeah. We go to Saris against a full-strength Saris and win there as well. I mean, two results that were so important, I think, for our squad as a whole. And
I think realistically that's what got us the home semi-final, isn't it, that week? Because I know for me, I wasn't involved in the Bath one, and you're almost a little bit gutted. You're like, oh, that was such a good, like, watching it at home, you're like, oh, I want to be there, like, and you were so buzzing, but you're a little bit gutted because you're like, I want to be in that changing room after. And then to go to Saris, like you said, against, they've got all their big stars out, they've got six British and Irish Lions, to go there and win was absolutely amazing. And that, like you said, the buzz after that must have been exactly the same as the buzz after Bath. And I think it just gave us even more momentum going in towards that end block.
Yeah, massively. And just sort of like I was saying about being adaptable, those 2 weeks, two games in that week were the epitome of what we were at the end of last year. And moving forward, I suppose. But then I think we should talk quite a bit about the week leading up to the final, because there was the outbreak, which was obviously heartbreaking, but you can only control what you can control. And we did have a bit of an outbreak, which was tough, especially the timing of it. First things first was making sure everyone was healthy. That's obviously always number one. But then you've got a final the week after, and it did get down to that point that you referred to, where there was a couple more positive tests. Those lads, I think, deserve a mention as well, who probably would have been in the 23.
Yeah, definitely.
Found out that they, if the game was to go ahead, wouldn't be involved, which was heartbreaking for them as well. You know, to see your mates go through that is tough. And I can't remember if it was a Tuesday or the Wednesday, we were told after another quick fire testing pool that if we got one more positive, should I say, that the game would be over, or the final wouldn't be played with us in it. So obviously when it gets to that point, you're thinking one more, and we've already had however many it was. You're thinking, oh God, here we go.
Well, that's it. And we obviously, everyone knew. And then you start worrying. You're like, I'm going to be the person who's going to stop what's getting to the final. So then everyone's getting anxiety about, you know, all these little things. And we know that the PCR tests, they start coming in at 2 a.m. So then I can remember being up at 4 a.m. and I'm messaging Dave Bass. I'm like, Dave, I'm up. Any news? He's like, nothing so far. Just waiting. Everyone's negative so far. Just waiting for a couple back. You're like the agonizing wait. And then we think it, because you're getting out about half six.
Early, yeah.
It was early, saying, right. And then it's like, bang, we're in. Let's get all this work done. So we had, what, two sessions before the final. And I thought the coach did a fantastic job of preparing us as much as can. Obviously, we'd had Zoom meetings. We'd done as much as we could. But everyone knows you need to be out in that field. You need to be learning. And we put all this stuff in place. And then it decided to tip it down.
Yeah, you're too right. But no, yeah, I think I remember that session or the meeting before the session on the Thursday before the final, when we just found out that the game would be going ahead. So obviously everyone's buzzing. And I think most of the chat was about controlling our emotions, wasn't it? Because it was such a high and such a low. So Lee and the coaches just trying to talk, you know, get the technical stuff out of the way, but just making so sure that we were emotionally not sort of playing the final on the Thursday and the Friday and making sure that we were good to go on the Saturday, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. You could just sense it. Like you said, walking into the room, you could feel the energy. Like, just so, everyone was so excited to be back. It was like we'd been off.
Yeah.
It was like being back from lockdown again.
Yeah.
It was like a week had been 5 months, and everyone, you were like so excited to see one another, and you could just feel that energy. And I think we dealt with it quite well, calming everyone down and building back into it. It's just a shame that the final was in October, not
torrential rain.
Not now we know where they play it in May.
Yeah.
It's clicked.
Now we do. But the final itself, I was a TR that day, and it was hard fought. But I thought, you know, not far off winning it, really. It was such a hard, close game against the team that eventually ended up as European champions. Like, for you being on the pitch, did that make it easy to take or harder to take with it being so close?
It felt very similar to the last one.
Yeah.
You know, being so close, like you said, against the European champions, it just felt like we were always going to break them down. Fair play, you know, the game wasn't the most exciting game. And I thought both teams done it really well. But you can see why Exeter are European champions. You know, they deserve it.
Yeah.
They were at the top of the league from the start to the end, and they came out on top. And unfortunately for us, we were just on the wrong side of it.
Yeah, it was difficult watching them lift the trophy at the end. But I think when I was looking at it in the end, and I see the journey that Exeter have been on, and the tightness of the group and the people that have been there for a long time, And then you look at our team with the young lads, inexperienced, with a mix of lads who have been here a while as well. We looked like maybe a team that's on a, hopefully, a journey that's sort of to become that, that build those relationships, get young lads with experience who will then become, you know, seasoned Premiership players, and hopefully sort of build on what we did in that last sort of 6 months of the season where we were adaptable, and we worked so hard to get there, didn't we? So
definitely, you can see the similarities throughout the squads, and like I said, it's just a shame.
It is a shame, I can tell you.
I'm reliving it.
I know.
I'm reliving it.
It's tough, but no. Obviously, after the final, it was tough into one day off and back into the next season.
Get back in. You got 20 games on the bounce.
Yeah, but I mean, we spoke about this as well, and I mean, losing a final is tough emotionally. So tough. But having such a short off season and into a new season, probably not great for your body, or should I say, definitely not great for your body. But that's a story for another day. But in terms of getting over it emotionally, straight back into a new season, potentially could be the best thing for us.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like you said, you can't think about it too much. It was just like, get in, okay. We were this close, but that was last year. Let's take them positives and let's go again. And that was the exciting thing. You don't have to do 3 months of pre-season getting shouted at. We were back into 2 days pre-season, which was the best pre-season I've ever done, into a game week, which is where you want to be. This is why we play the game, is to play the games. Yeah. You know, the training just gets in the way. The S&C just make us do silly things sometimes, and luckily they couldn't this time. But no, all jokes aside, I'd like you said, I think it was perfect for us to be able to just get back into a game week, funnel exactly what we want, and meet Bristol for the 26th time in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think Jimmy said it was something like his 23rd pre-season or something stupid like that, because they used to do two at some point in Super Rugby. So yeah, having a 2 day one, so the best one ever, but 23rd pre-season, absolute hell. So yeah, obviously get into the new season. What were we, 3 games into the Premiership, had a couple of disappointing results, which obviously not our best start to the season, but we've now had a freshen up and win the Champions Cup, which we weren't in last year. In the Challenge Cup last year, we want to be playing in these big games against big teams, testing ourselves against the best. So a nice freshen up, and obviously off the back of a good win at the weekend.
Yeah, like we've spoke about earlier, it takes a whole year to qualify for it. It takes 12 months to get these opportunities to play in it. And hearing the music when you run out, and to go to Rodney Parade, what a place to start off, and come away with 5 points was amazing. You know, a new competition, back in it, back where, you know, we want to be, and it was exciting.
Yeah, it was a new ground for most of us as well, as generally these stadiums pop up every now and again, and you've been here before or you've been there before, but I don't think anyone had played at Rodney, but maybe one or two had played at Rodney Parade.
Only
before.
Evs.
Only Evs, yeah, who played for Moss, didn't he?
The last time we played there, yeah.
Which was in 2012.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely mint. And to be fair, that week, having the international lads come back, which I suppose we should touch on as well, seeing Jack represent England, it's always a proud moment looking at, you know, launchers, Dobby, Will Rowlands, who seems to have sort of got himself into that Wales squad consistently now, Matteo. But seeing Jack go through what he went through, which I think people forget, he went through such a big injury.
Yeah.
Resilience he showed to get through that and be where he is now. He cleaned up on the awards last year, finally got his chance, was such a good moment to welcome him back into the club. You know, sort of where he belongs with international honours.
Yeah, he was on the brink of his international career to start, and then everything that happened. But like you said, it's the resilience, the being able to go again, and he's come back a better player. And, you know, what a way to start against Georgia. Joe Launchbury pushes him over the line and he gets his first try.
Literally took him under his wing.
And to do what he does, get turnovers, was amazing. Like you said, it was a proud moment, I'm sure, for all his family. But it was also a proud moment for us as a squad, because that's what you want. You want your players that are playing well for you to get that recognition, because you see all the hard work they put in. So it was nice. And it was nice to have him not in training for a few days, stamping on people's feet.
But his clumsy feet, he's always the guy, isn't he?
Oh, every time.
It's nearly as bad as his brother, actually. Oh, well, his brother's more clumsy.
Yeah, Tom is definitely more clumsy, but he's a close second, isn't he?
Massively. No, so good to see Jack coming in. And I think the effect that they had coming back into the squad, obviously we'd had a couple of bad losses that we weren't happy with performance-wise. So for them to come back in and sort of freshen us up, the effect that these guys have in the training week, not just the game, is so important. So for like you say, for Jack to come back in and show how hard he works to get to where he is has such a big influence on us as a group as well. And I think everyone was obviously welcoming them back with open arms, weren't they?
So. Yeah. I think we've missed a big thing to talk about at the weekend, though, haven't we?
What's that, mate?
Cruise doggy dog.
Woof.
Woof, woof.
Yeah, mate.
Talk us through it.
I don't know. I've had a few messages here and there, but I tend to try and ignore them. I think they've mostly been positive, but there's always a few people that aren't happy with it, aren't there?
I think that's the thing. It's, you know, there is a story behind it. You have done it at Rotherham. I mean, your Twitter handle is Cruise Dog, so...
It is now. I didn't used to
be. I changed it after.
Like for me, look, as professionals, you're under so much pressure to play well all the time, and sometimes you forget to enjoy it. And I think it's, I suppose, a bit of a tip of the hat to my old Rotherham days, where in the Championship, under potentially a little bit pressure, but less pressure, should I say, because it's not on TV. Maybe the highlights are in the week, but you get to play with that little bit of freedom. It was a time I really enjoyed. So it came up on the coach on the way to Celtic Manor, where we obviously had our pre-match.
I was sat next to you.
You were sat next to me. And it was actually, Launches was like, you wouldn't do that if you scored. And first thing was, I was like, I probably won't score. And then the second thing was, yeah, well.
I think the funniest thing is everyone thought you were injured because you started crawling. Everyone was like, and then you're like, oh no, he's okay.
It was knackered, mate.
He was knackered.
it's incredibly random. I get that. But look, I want to enjoy playing rugby. And I think, I know it might look a bit random to some people, but to me, I want to express myself and enjoy playing my rugby. And, you know, it's all lighthearted. I know some people take offence to it, but I think some people said it was very football, which...
You wish you were a footy player.
I do wish I was a football player. You're damn right. And if it is very football, then I'm staying with it.
I'm hurt about the comment that said, if you really want to punish him, make him start the podcast again.
That was good balance.
How dare they?
They listened to it then.
Well, they've deleted.
If you're out there.
They've deleted the tweets. They obviously felt very bad after. They knew it was coming back, so they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
I think they were just trying to get it quicker, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so. But they deleted the tweets. So they obviously took some heat for saying that.
Well, that's our hardcore listeners.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, going after people. Things we spoke about before on the podcast. I think there was an Alex Reader episode where he commented about something that happened at your wedding, about a voice, about someone getting interviewed and someone singing Wonderwall.
I've slapped the bass, but do you know what? I get so nervous when people come in that I don't like to sing. Not even for a miss, I don't sing.
So I'm so happy you said
this. Oh, no!
Because I was lucky enough to hear Cruzy sing on radio, actually, so I'm pretty sure the Anything Goes fans deserve a sing song as well.
I think we're going to have it now. I think this here's one that he prepared earlier.
So his best man at his wedding in... talk to a local radio presenter in Manchester to call him up and pretend to do an interview. And during the interview, they were going to be like, oh, so tell us your favourite song. And the guy was going to play Oblivious to it and sort of get you to see it. And they played it and I couldn't find it because I was going to play it here.
Oh, you are joking me.
And I think we've got it here live. Ready? So if everyone would like to take a listen.
You're joking.
Nope, this is live.
On the line, we have Tom Cruise, the Wasps hooker. Tom, you've gone from the northern powerhouses of Stockport, Macclesfield, Sale and Rotherham, all the way to London Wasps. Can we start off by just talking us through your rugby journey, Tom?
Yeah, obviously slightly unorthodox compared to... some of the players that I'm playing with there,
do you want to explain again, just in case?
cannot believe you've stitched me up like this.
Who needs enemies, eh? Oh my god, I'm so fuming. I've actually gone bright red as well. Just listening to the start of that interview, hell. My best men got in touch with one of my brother's best mates, who is a radio host, and he got his sports, the guy who does the sports on his radio, to basically stitch me up, ring me up and say he was doing an interview. And I just sort of, you know what I'm like, I just speak to anyone, don't I, idiot. And he started to speak to me about rugby, lured me in, and I got a bit comfortable. And then somehow he's got me to sing, I think it's Supersonic from Oasis. And I don't know how I thought that a radio host didn't know what Supersonic by Oasis sounded like, but somehow he's got me singing it, and they obviously stitched me up at the wedding with it, and I knew none the wiser.
See, I haven't actually heard this before, it's one of your best men that have sent it to me.
Oh my God.
But I didn't realise it was this professional. Like, listening to it, that literally sounds like you're live on air. So I actually feel a bit bad now, because it sounds like, I think anyone would believe that.
I hope you're right, John boy.
Do we want to follow? I think it's the, how, do you remember how far in it is? I think it's
near the end.
Towards the end.
It's near the end.
I don't have the exact markings. I'm sorry, no. Everyone.
Oh, I can't believe you're doing this to me. I can't believe you've done this.
Do you know how long he sent this to me ago as well?
It was ages, was it?
He sent it so long ago when we done the reader episode. And then I thought, you know what, this is the time to bring it out. And then I had to get him to resend it to me.
Hans or Josh Longmont?
Not sure.
James,
I think, James. Yeah.
Oh my God, messaging him straight away.
You stitch up.
Do you have any secret or hidden talents at all? Any secret skills that we wouldn't
I don't know. I play the guitar every now and again. Yeah. I don't know whether I'd call it a talent as such, but it's something that I'm working on to make it, you know, I'm trying to improve. It's something I use to try and take my mind off things. And I'm quite a big fan of acoustic music, so it's something I can turn to on an evening after a stressful day at work.
So strumming a few chords, or is it some...
Yeah.
Slapping the bass.
Badly, very badly.
Any particular songs? Any particular songs?
Well, being a Manchester man, I'm a big Oasis fan.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you know, like listening to The Verve and the Cortinas as well is a band that I like as well. But to compare them to me while I'm playing my guitar would be very unfair, to be honest.
Yeah. Speaking of music, we play a lot of 90s music on Free Radio. Do you have a favourite track from that decade? I know it's a hard question, but one particular song that would be your favourite?
I think maybe... Supersonic by Oasis.
Here we go.
Supersonic, yeah. How does that one go again?
I'm not going to break into a song for you. Not a chance.
Is it which? The,
he wouldn't.
Oh, it's a it's first album, is it? First album. How's it go? Can't remember.
I'm feeling supersonic. Give me gin and tonic.
That's it, yeah. Great. Tom Cruise, thank you very much for your time today. Thank you for speaking to Free Radio. All the best for the rest of the season.
But in the interview as well, he's obviously like mugging me off the whole time because he's calling me very small, and he keeps referring to it. It's like, yeah, obviously, very small. And oh my God, like that, I cannot believe
that's unbelievable by them. Like, it sounds like
he had to go through a lot of people to get to him. He had my agent, and then my brother, and then eventually get to...
Well, I think we should get him back, shouldn't we? Somehow. I don't know how.
I agree. I think we should. I agree. We've got the platform.
We've got the platform. So whatever your name is, Mr. Nice Voice, we're coming. We're coming
we're
for you.
Coming for you.
We're coming for
I will
you.
Be able to get his name.
Yeah, let's get his name, and let's get the Wasp fans after him, because that's nasty.
How can we get him back? I completely agree.
I think we should get him back somehow. We're going to think of something.
To be honest with you, Josh, I feel like I should get you back as well.
This is nothing to do with me.
You got hold of the material.
I got sent the material, and I thought, there's only one thing we can do with this, and that's get the radio presenter back. And we're going to get all the Wasp fans behind it, once we find your name, Mr. Nice Voice, Mr. Nice Sexy Voice, we're coming for you and your radio station.
Yeah, we are. We're going to take over your radio station.
And all your listeners. They're going to listen to us repeatedly.
I cannot believe you've proper stumped me. I can't believe you've done that.
So, what would you like to talk to about next, Tom?
I've not got a clue, to be honest with you. Josh.
Do you think Tom should sing us out today?
Absolutely no chance. But no, I think we are all out, are we?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's nice just to speak to you, Tom. It's nice to kind of, this is kind of like an introduction back in, isn't it? A reintroduction into Anything Goes. And
At our new spot,
One Mill Street. Like we said, it's unbelievable here. They've got a coffee shop, Muse Coffee. They do paninis, they do great soups here, cakes, everything. It's unbelievable. They do healthy, like food bowls, all this stuff. So when we're out of tier 24 and we're back down to tier 0, who knows what the tiers mean anymore, and you can get down, come down here. We're going to be recording here. We're going to hopefully have some live events where fans can come in. We're going to have some interaction. Now we've got the computer and the screen, and I'm not going to stitch Cruzy up anymore. So we can get some questions live while we're recording. There's lots of things we can do now. It's absolutely amazing. So again, thank you to Mill Street for having us. And just remember, anything goes.